Welcome to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for video games. I'm your host Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Robert. How's it going?
It's going good for the most part. We had a bit of a miscommunication because you guys in the UK hit your daylight savings times. Ours doesn't hit until Sunday, so I thought we were recording about an hour before we actually were, so no biggie.
Yeah, I obviously recognized that it happened, and then I just sort of forgot that it actually did, which
Well,
was,
now that everything's connected to everything else, when you turn on your computer, the clock auto adjusts. You look at your phone, the clock auto adjusts, and we just forget about it. Out of sight, out of mind.
There you go. All right, video games. What have you been playing?
Well, another one of the games that I was waiting on and had wish listed on Steam, it's called Super Fantasy Kingdom. It's roguelike adjacent. So what it is you're the ruler of this kingdom, and you have a hero that does all the fighting, and then you're trying to rebuild your kingdom, but eventually you will fail. It's very much a dive reboot kind of a thing. The roguelite part of it is that you'll eventually get other, not heroes, but other minions that you can recruit to help fight and stave off the endless waves of monsters. But those are random. And then you have to keep going through to unlock more space in your kingdom to build more buildings, to get more stuff, for more resources, to unlock sections of the map, which will give you a better start doing certain things. And it's one of those that you start it up and you're playing. And then you look at the clock and it's 3 hours later, and you're just like, what the hell just happened? But I've been playing a lot of that because, like I said, it's easy, especially if you want to catch up on content, watch a streamer, watch some videos on YouTube. It's really easy to just completely lose track of time. And that's mostly what I've been playing.
Right, cool, nice. Well, for me, I haven't played that much since I believe it was Metal Gear Solid Delta, which we already went over. I was trying to honestly remember because my head's been in a bit of a weird spot this past week or so. I was trying to remember if I even did the social media review last week, and I think we did, didn't we? So we've already covered that on the last episode. It took a while for me to get sent a next game anyway, and then for it to actually arrive. So I got Ready or Not, which is this very, very tactical first person shooter. You can either play it with, AI teammates in single player, or you can obviously play it in multiplayer with people that are playing next to you. To say that this game is different, and I didn't expect it to play anything like COD, because I've already seen what this game is like and knew it was going to be very different. To say this game doesn't play anything like COD is still an enormous understatement. This is a and I've not played a ton of it yet. I'm just going to sort of explain it for a second. This is a very, very kind of delicate is the word I'd use. First person shooter where it's sort of going from room to room can simply kind of get you killed in terms of opening doors a certain way, peeking around corners a certain way. I have only actually played it for about like I played about half of the tutorial and that sort of stuff. But one issue I did have with it is, so I was doing the firing range tutorial and got on fine with the shooting, and that the guns felt a bit weird. Not the gun play, like the actual shooting was fine, but controlling the guns felt a bit strange. I don't know if there's obviously there's probably different options for all that. And then it was like, oh, here's three windows. Can you equip a flashbang and throw one in each window? I thought, right, fair enough. And I don't know if I was pressing the right button. I don't know if it's because of the headspace and stuff I was in. I don't know what it was, but it was like, okay, press and hold. It was either L1 or R1. I think it was R1 to bring up like a weapon wheel. Go to grenades, then go to flashbangs. And I must have done it 15 times, and it just wouldn't change to a flashbang. And then I held the cursor over the selection thing for like 2 seconds longer, and then it actually equipped it. And then I had a stun grenade in my hand, so I felt some of the control. And again, weird headspace stuff and that. And I was just trying to just distract my mind from certain things. So I thought, hey, I'll pop this game on. Turns out this might not be the best game to do that kind of thing with, because you've really got to concentrate. So yeah, there was that. I mean, the game itself seemed fine. I maybe didn't have the best first impression of it and whatnot. I'm curious to get more into it though, because again, I've seen this game be played by like a few different people, and it seems very, very, very good. But yeah, I don't really have any impressions past that, aside from like it was a bit weird. I don't know if I clicked on the right thing properly for the flashbang stuff. Again, when it was like, hey, the targets have come up now, you got to shoot them and switch between them, that all went pretty well. There was a couple of needless things in there, like, hey, do the side aiming with the laser sight thing. I get what the game was trying to get me to do. That was fine as well. So yeah, that was good. Thought the reloading was all right. I thought that because you don't have an ammo counter, like in pretty much most shooting games I can think of, you'd have like a you have this many bullets in your thing, and you have this many bullets in total. Most games have that. But because it's just aiming for more realism, you have to take your magazine out, and it will show you like a rough. It won't say like you've got 20 bullets left. It will have like a bar that's full, and you have to guess sort of, okay, it's about 25 bullets, 20 bullets, whatever. I like that idea. Although I couldn't get my guy to have the magazine out for very long, so I couldn't quite see that properly. I don't know. It was a bit of a funny sort of odd experience. What have you seen of this game so far?
Honestly, nothing. This is the first I've heard of it. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't have, I don't do shooters. I'm not really in the gun battle slap fight 47 world. So this was not anything that was ever on my radar.
But see, it seemed all right, but maybe it was just some stuff that was going on with me. That is so the next games are like short waiting in my Boomerang list is a game that we've been asked about, actually, called Chronos New Dawn. But I don't know if I like the game yet, because I have not played any of it. But we could talk about that later, because we do have a question about it. But it was one that I was curious about. I got Ghost of Yotan and Medium Weight. Again, both of them could get sent tomorrow. No idea. But to see how that
You
goes.
see that the Ghost of Yotei is already on sale in the UK?
I didn't.
Yeah, 2 weeks from launch and it's already £10 off retail.
There you go. But yeah, anyway, that's basically all I've been playing at the moment. I would have gave more impressions for stuff, but I haven't really played much of anything else. All right, let's get into some housekeeping. We'll see for that in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, recently on Entertainment Talk, it was a busy old week last week. We had, of course, another episode of the United cast, and things seemed to be turning somewhat of a corner. I don't quite know why or what happened, but we're playing better and we're winning games. We beat Brighton by 4 goals to 2, with Brian Mbeumo kind of stealing the show and playing really, really well. We went 3-0 up, then manager made some odd subs, which sort of caused us to lose some control. Brighton got some confidence back, they scored 2 goals, they added 8 minutes on from somewhere, and then we grabbed a goal at the end. So yeah, 3 wins in a row out of nowhere, and we'll see what happens this weekend away to Nottingham Forest. Of course, they got Sean Dyche over there, and we'll see how that goes. Over on some TV season reviews, I gave a must-see review to Invasion Season 3, gave my reasons on the podcast as to why. We don't know at the moment if the show's coming back for Season 4, but I still recommend the season because it still finishes in a decent place if that is going to be the last season. So spoiler-free, spoiler review over there. That's Invasion Season 3 on Apple TV. Speaking of things coming to an end, over on the Diabolical 7 for Gen V, we've had Season 2, Episode 8. It's another show that we don't know if it's getting another season. However, we do know that Season 2 of that will feed into the 5th and final season of The Boys. So the progress that have been made there will feed into that. And there was some eventful stuff over there. So that's Gen V covered for now. I believe The Boys comes back in June, so that was when that will be continuing. Over on Becoming Heisenberg for Breaking Bad, we should have another podcast tomorrow, which will be for Season 4, Episode 8, but last week we covered Season 4, Episode 7, and it was another very, very good one. Over on Gaming Talk last week, we talked about Quantic Dream announcing a video game that made nobody happy. We then talked about The Last of Us on mobile, which didn't work out, and Horizon, some stuff about them filming the Horizon film and a bunch of other stuff. Over in the United cast, of course, as well, what was the second win in a row out of 3 wins was a very surprising win away against Liverpool. Liverpool turned up and looked like they had no ideas. Liverpool have got on themselves a weird losing streak, which is again strange. Yeah, we went there with confidence and whatnot and beat them 2-1. Over on Political Talk, I talked recently about the Israel-Palestine stuff, and not as I call it, the peace deal, quote-unquote, that happened recently, so I talked about that. Over on the Skip Review, which I talked about last week, my Skip Review for Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake, which is, of course, the remake of Metal Gear Solid 3, although you could put remake in the most loosest of terms with that. And yeah, that's what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's get into some news. I guess we're going straight into this. Probably one of the biggest, I mean, we've covered some very, very big stuff on this podcast, both in terms of bad things that have happened, like the triple Activision episode that we did, and we've covered what different purchases on this show. We covered release of a new generation with, you know, the PS5 Series X, and of course the Switch 2 and the Switch 1 as well. We were around for that, weren't we, back in 2017. What other really big things have we covered? The Activision acquisition, which took like 10 years, even though we've only been running for 9 years. What other really big stories can you think of that we've like really, really big stuff that we've covered on like some of the big highlights? Any ones that come to mind? I mean, it's like, always loads of stuff happening with
Yeah, I mean, the
Ubisoft.
Bethesda one
Oh yeah,
was
Bethesda
also
as
another
well.
big purchase that happened.
Yeah.
Definitely the Switch one, because I was way wrong. I didn't think it would sell like a fraction of what it did. So I was way wrong on that one. After that, I don't know. It all just kind of blurs together, really.
Yeah. But yeah, Switch One, the Activision stuff, some Ubisoft stuff. Obviously, multiple people have left different roles since we started this podcast. But yeah, we saw in the Switch One, the Xbox Series X, PS5, along with all the COVID shenanigans. And then yeah, onto Switch Two. But joining the queue of, I mean, you could say this is just a game being released on the platform, but this isn't a small one. Halo is officially coming to PlayStation. I don't have like a blog thing to read out in front of me or anything like that. I just broke down Halo is coming to PlayStation. There is indeed a trailer. I didn't actually end up watching the trailer because I just assumed it would be, a trailer of Halo Combat Evolved, so it's specifically the first one. The things we do know about this is, so it's Halo Combat Evolved, which I believe was it's one of the names in one of the territories for Halo. You can just call it Halo, but it was called Halo Combat Evolved in
That was the original
different.
game. It's called something else. Let me look it up real quick.
But I remember it was either Halo or Halo Combat Evolved. And I read that there's some new levels and things like that, and it's been made with a new engine. And yeah, obviously this is coming to Xbox as well, but it is also coming to Halo. So we now live in a world and in a situation where the big Trinity, if we do still think of them as the Trinity, because obviously there's been big games on Xbox since then.
It's called, okay, this is why it was throwing me. It's called Halo Campaign Evolved.
Okay, what's that? Is that?
Instead of campaign is just, the main story.
Oh yeah, I know, but
So it's just a different name to differentiate it between like the regular Halo Combat Evolved, the OG game, and then the Master Chief Collection, which includes Halo Combat Evolved. I knew
yeah.
it was something different, but I couldn't remember what.
Yeah. But yeah, we now live in a world where, again, the Trinity of Xbox, if we call it that, Halo, Gears, Forza, is at least one of each of those series either on its way to PlayStation or on PlayStation. So because I do remember quite clearly a thing like stating or whatever a couple, I think it was a couple of months ago when Gears was announced for PlayStation, not when whichever Forza game it was. I can never remember which one it was. There was a Forza game that was announced. I was like, okay, that's one of your big three. We'll see if you do the other two. And then Gears was announced, obviously, like the Ultimate Edition or whatever it was. No, Gears Reloaded or something it was called like that. Was announced for PlayStation. And then it was the guy. There's been rumors about this for a very, very long time. Of oh no, it's a case of when, not if, Halo goes to PlayStation. And I remember kind of it was either on that podcast or the one after or one that was in and around it. Saying, that not in a dramatic sense, but if Halo does come to PlayStation, then any sort of sense of like an exclusives game or a console war, whatever the console wars mean now, is over. Because when Xbox started this whole thing of like, oh, a game here, a game there, Grounded, bit of Sea of Thieves, bit of this, bit of that, Indiana Jones, and I remember it was on one of the podcasts or whatever that they did, and they said like, "Oh yeah, four games." I think it was like Pentiment or something, Grounded, Sea of Thieves, and something else. And I remember Phil at the time was very kind of, you're right there, very cagey about like, "Oh, Starfield isn't going to be one of them," etc., etc. I think once you open the door of Halo, every single game that's ever come to your platform exclusively is now firmly on the table because there's no kind of there is no, there isn't now a series that you could look at that's gone on Xbox exclusively, for first party that you could now go, oh no, they wouldn't put that on PlayStation because they're putting Halo on PlayStation. Which to me that was the one that I was kind of waiting for, and it was interesting the kind of build up around this, I suppose, of because that's actually how I would rank their importance is like, okay, Forza is big, but that's the third one, and then Gears, and then Halo. So they've actually done it from like the least important to the most important. So you've had kind of this, I guess, interesting build up to it. But I mean, it's interesting that it's not the Master Chief Collection. I would have thought that would have been maybe easier to do, but they're gonna again. There's nothing that would say like, okay, you put Halo 1 on PlayStation. Is Halo 2 going to come to PlayStation? Well, it's now that's now complete. All of them, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, ODST, whichever ones, all of them are on the table. And I'm not saying this is remotely a bad thing. I'm not saying that this is like, a mistake from Xbox per se. I mean, if they've looked at their business that they've done with the exclusives they've put onto PlayStation and it's worked, then clear it would work for them. It was interesting as well when, again, if we were rewind back to when this started, and there was actually rumors of putting an actual Game Pass subscription menu on PlayStation. You kind of might as well do that now because you could also then get more Game Pass subscriptions. You then wouldn't have to do the a la carte thing of buying Xbox games that way through PlayStation. And you could also just do both anyway. So in terms of, I remember it was quite a big deal at the time of, oh, would Xbox put Game Pass on PlayStation? Now that the Halo box has been ticked, you might as well just put Game Pass on PlayStation if you can. Like, it kind of almost makes more sense to me to do that because rather than going like one by like you've done all your tests now, really. Like you've done what 5, 10 different games, and you've done your big one, which is Halo 1. So yeah, I've just whether it's next that you put Master Chief Collection on PlayStation or you put Gears 2, you may as well do that and put Game Pass just on there. Because again, if you're doing this thing of this is an Xbox, this is an Xbox, you may as well then look at PlayStation and go, this is an Xbox as well. Because if you are just going to slowly continue to do this, which now there's no reason for them not to, make it so that your games individually are on PlayStation as well as Game Pass. Because if you're not bothered about, selling the box or keeping exclusives to yourself, which clearly Xbox is not bothered by that anymore. That's not what they're doing anymore. And if you want to see increases in Game Pass sales, then if you're already doing this, then why wouldn't you just put Game Pass on? Like, like how you can subscribe to EA Play or Ubisoft Plus or obviously PS Plus and stuff. Just add Game Pass to the list because I don't really entirely see what sort of difference it makes. Anyway, that's kind of my thoughts at the moment, Robert. What do you think?
Well, couple of things. First off, I'm not upset really with Halo coming to PlayStation. Once I saw what the sales numbers were for the Xbox games they did migrate over to PlayStation, it was inevitable. And you know me, I'm a realist. Once I accepted that, yes, this is going to happen, I got over it. I'm not a big fan of what they're doing in terms of the game is using Unreal Engine 5. There's not a single game that's come out this year that used Unreal Engine 5 that wasn't a janky, broken piece of mess. And if you watch the live streams and the video of it, you can actually see the stuttering in the game itself that they're trying to use to sell the game, which is very concerning. Outside of that, I'm just eating popcorn and laughing at how the internet has lost its goddamn mind over this. Did you see that GameStop put out a statement about this?
No, I didn't know.
GameStop, for those people in the UK, is a large retail store. Ostensibly, they sell games. They really don't. I mean, they become they had to pivot because so much of game sales is digital. They do trade-ins. They mostly sold Pop Funko Pops until that market crashed. If you know what a Hot Topic is, just think of them like a nerdy Hot Topic. But anyway, they released this statement. GameStop declares the console war is over. For the past 2 decades, the global gaming community has been engaged in an ongoing and increasingly petty conflict known as the console wars. Said conflict originated in the early 2000s with the release of Halo Combat Evolved as an Xbox exclusive title. Halo Campaign Evolved is officially coming to PlayStation in 2026 with cross-platform play. GameStop, therefore, acting under its authority as a neutral entity in the world's retail gaming and trade-in destination, hereby declares the official cessation of the console wars. All claims to exclusivity are hereby dissolved. Console loyalists are instructed to cease hostilities, disband militias, and enjoy this new era of gaming. GameStop will continue to operate as a demilitarized zone, offering hardware accessories and trade-ins to combatants on all sides, power to the players. Which is fucking hilarious in that. And not getting political here, just stating what actually happened. And Trump in the White House, because they love trolling, and you can't say anything about Trump, but you can say the man knows how to troll. The official White House Twitter X account tweeted out a AI generated image of Trump in Master Chief's armor with an energy sword saluting the American flag. And oh my God, if you want to see people crashing out, spiraling out of control in just the most insane way possible, just follow that thread down the rabbit hole. It is absolutely insane. And like I said, I'm eating popcorn and sipping whiskey, just enjoying the insanity. Because we live in an insane world now. This reality is officially gone completely insane, and I'm just along for the ride.
I did see that Trump image, and while it didn't bother me per se, I didn't really get it. I was like, okay, this is just a thing I'm looking at, and it doesn't really. Okay, so
Yeah. But
yeah.
you gotta understand something. Over here in the States, the left has gone violently insane. And when I say violently insane, I mean there was a story the other day. Guy was in a restaurant, saw a group of people. One of them was wearing a Trump, red Make America Great Again hat. He got upset, left, got in his car, waited for the guy to come out, and ran him over. And that doesn't even crack the top 1,000 of stories you can find to where somebody was killed for being a Trump supporter in the last, I guess, 10 years almost now, since he was elected technically in 2017. Well, he's elected in 2016, took office in 2017. So about the last 8 years, give or take, it's just insane. And people are losing their mind over his immigration policy and all that other stuff, not commenting, not saying anything. I'm just reacting to what comes in over here.
I'll just say one thing about that, and I promise it'll only be one thing because I actually don't know what the policy itself is. It seems like no one who's actually in charge of any immigration anywhere actually knows what they're doing.
Well, the basic of it
Certainly, certainly
is
not over
that.
here anyway. Like, it's just, no, no. I don't think anybody who's actually in control of those situations has a, let's say, realistic plan. They have fantasy plans, but not realistic plans. But yeah, Halo's going to PlayStation next year. I believe they said 2026, right?
Yeah.
So We'll see how it goes down, and we'll see what the next game is. Halo 2, Gears 2. Who knows?
Probably, well, the Gears collection is going there, isn't it?
I think it's just, yeah. Again, they'll all be there eventually. I don't see why not.
Yeah, they will.
Just put Game
And like
Pass
I
on
said,
PlayStation.
once once they started making, like, I think it was, we talked about this a few weeks ago, like, three of the top five selling games on PlayStation digitally were Microsoft-owned IPs. So once you see that, you just know it's all going there eventually.
What do you think of
But as for the Game Pass,
That's what I was just
that'll
talking about.
never happen. Yeah, Game Pass, that'll never happen. Not because Microsoft doesn't want it, because Sony will never allow it. Because that will directly compete with their PlayStation Plus.
But most people will sub to both anyway, so.
Not really. I mean, my Game Pass Core, or whatever they're calling it now, is about to run out,
Or I would.
and I'm probably not going to resub.
I would guess even if you're not PS Plus subscribed, if you would, I would guess that if you'd subscribe, let's say to Game Pass on PlayStation, that Sony would probably take a cut of that. What that cut would be, I have no idea. But yeah, I can kind of see your argument a bit. But still, again, if you're going to put all these games eventually on PlayStation, you might as well just do that and put Game Pass on there. So, let's see. All right, let's move on from that. Talk about. I'm going to label this as rumor mill because it's not being confirmed or sort of properly posted anywhere. But I saw this posted in about six different places, and it's something that's possible. It's not, I mean, what isn't possible these days? Anyway, a lot of information here, so I'm just going to read this out. It says, now, some of these statements in here sound like it's done, but I'm just reading out what's in front of me. So, again, don't take any of this as truth or factual or whatever. I'm just reading what I have in front of me. It says Netflix is developing a Crash Bandicoot animated series produced by Wild Brain Studios, the same team behind Sonic Prime, which I think was also on Netflix. The Crash Bandicoot franchise began in 1996, created by Naughty Dog as a PlayStation exclusive before moving under Activision, now owned by Microsoft. It's funny how things work out. The series has seen multiple revivals, including the hit Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy in 2017, all that time ago, which is, of course, the remaster of the first three games, and Crash Bandicoot 4, the proper sequel to Crash Bandicoot 3. It's about time. Also worth mentioning, Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, which was the remaster of that. Wild Brain Studios also worked on Carmen Sandiego, Johnny Test, Go Dog Go, and The Snoopy Show. Story details are still under wraps, and no casting has been announced yet. This will mark Crash Bandicoot's first solo animated series following a small guest appearance in Skylanders Academy. That gave me a flashback when I read that, because I remember that, and it wasn't a horrendous cameo, it just wasn't, it was odd. Let's say that it was odd, but that's one of them things I almost forgot about until I read it just then. Oh, not just then, but when I read it in this information. It says Netflix continues expanding its video game adaptations lineup with projects for Minecraft, Clash of Clans, Splinter Cell, which we just had, and Tomb Raider already in motion. Of course, remember that Tomb Raider series? That was the one with Hayley Atwell, which did get cancelled because obviously the Sophie Turner and Phoebe Waller-Bridge, so Sophie Turner starring and Phoebe Waller-Bridge produced live action series to Amazon is coming out. So I think that's why Netflix killed the Hayley Atwell one, because apparently two things can't exist at the same time or something. So even though there's already also a new game trilogy in development that we know about, which would also be a different person doing the voice, but never mind. It's funny, I saw like one. I'm gonna take it as sarcasm, but you can never know these days. Is someone was saying in one of the comments I read that they'll make it seem woke because what they'll do is paint all the humans as bad people and all of the let's say altered animals, however you want to describe what Crash actually is, as like the good ones. And it's like, okay, while that's jokingly true, because if you do look at all of the humans in the game, they are all the bad people. But then there's also Coco, who's Crash's sister, and she's one of the good people. So, But I just thought that was a funny little comment. Not one that I took remotely seriously, but anyway. This isn't one that I'm getting my hopes up for, because I've heard similar things like this in the past and they just sort of disappeared. Heck, I remember about 5 years ago, when PlayStation, I can't remember which studio it was, they said like, oh, there's a Sly Cooper series coming out this October. Not this year, this was like a good 5 years or so ago. We might have covered it on this podcast. And that was the last I ever heard of it. And in October of that year, whatever it was, came and went, and then nothing happened. I have heard about this Wild Brain Studio. It is the same name that keeps going around. I've not personally heard of them, but I am aware of some of those. It's like Carmen Sandiego, I did see some episodes of. I know there's a Snoopy show as well. I thought that was on Apple, but maybe that was just made by Wild Brain and shown on Apple TV. But this could happen. I mean, we are in the era at the moment of, you know, going through different video games. We've had, goodness knows how many. We've had, what was it, about 6 weeks or so ago, them announcing a COD film, which was one of the ones I thought would be obvious. I mean, I guess if you were to look at all the big popular game names, someone in an office somewhere is probably talking, like, there's probably a Fortnite film in development. Surprised that hasn't happened yet. Minecraft is, while the film may or may not have been very good, those are one of the sort of obvious names that you do. It's interesting with Crash, though, because while he's obviously, you know, is a PlayStation classic icon and all that, and then obviously had like a weird 20 years post Naughty Dog, and then, you know, came roaring back in 2017, then with all the stuff from 2017 to 2020, but, and then you had like the weird Crash Team Rumble, which just didn't really work, but post 2020 with Crash Bandicoot 4, which was the proper sequel, Crash has gone back into being in a weird spot, where it's sort of, because I haven't heard a single peep about what Crash 5 could be, who the hell might be working on it, because I can't even remember, what was it, Vicarious Visions, who did 1 through 3 remake, then it was Beanox, who did the Kart Racer remake, and then it was Toys for Bob, who did 4, and I think one of those studios moved away from, I almost said Amazon, from Activision. I think it was Toys for Bob, and then like they're working on something new. Is that Crash 5? Nobody really kind of knows. That was 5 years ago. So you would kind of would have thought maybe last year, maybe in the next couple of years, we would hear something about whatever the next Crash game would be. I know that there was that talk and there was those rumors of a cancelled Spyro crossover game. But apparently that was like a concept that was cancelled, not an actual, like, I don't think it got into development. It was more they cancelled the concept, which I don't know why. But speaking of Spyro, those fans are also starving for even more than what the Crash fans are at the moment. And it was weird because, like, Crash came back in 2017, all the fans were happy. It's like, finally, like, someone's doing something with these games. And then you get the Kart Racer, then you get the proper sequel. And you would have kind of thought the train would have kept going from there, maybe, but it just sort of didn't. And then Crash Team Rumble was like, oh, here's the party game. So this is like the other one that we wanted to happen, and not a remake of Crash Bash. And then that just didn't turn out really how anyone wanted to. So yeah, if it is from this Wild Brain Studios, who's worked on these other series, that could be a possibility. Again, it's rumor mill right now. It says his story details are under wraps. I mean, it's going to be a Crash Bandicoot Netflix series, so that's what it is. I don't know. It's just one that we have to wait and see on in terms of if this is actually happening, I guess what happens with the games next. So, anyway, what do you think of this development?
Well, in terms of it being a possibility, it's like, yeah, you can't really discount it. You look at the success of both the Sonic movies and the Minecraft movie.
Yeah.
There's always a lot of,
Mario,
hey, we could do that. So of it being a thought of, by somebody, wouldn't be shocked. I really don't know what the fan interaction would be in terms of how popular it is enough to really bring it out. Yeah, remember the Sonic movie almost didn't happen because of the horrible CGI that became a huge internet meme that they had to completely redo to fix it. And then thankfully they did do that so that it's a much better game, a much better movie now. And it got a couple sequels. So yeah, definitely a possibility. Until we get like a director assigned to it or anything like that, really can't put anything more than a rumor mill.
True, true. Yeah, I just saw this posted by like five, six different people, so it started to gain some steam. Not to be too picky as well, and again, it's been 5 years since something, let's say, new and proper since for Crash Bandicoot, because I'm not really gonna kind of count Team Rumble because I think the servers are offline for it now anyway. I personally would have preferred to get like a Mario Sonic style film. And by the way, not, it wouldn't be a case of I wouldn't want the what's it called? Like they did with Sonic and with Detective Pikachu, where it's the animated characters in the real world with people. Because I don't think that you could do like Dr. Cortex as a person in costume. You might end up a bit too much Super Mario Brothers movie doing that. So I think you do need to do this in the Mario way, which is that every character's animated. I would prefer a film, I think. And I think if you do a film for Crash 1, 2, and 3, one each, you can quite easily cover some of that stuff. So yeah, because I'm not sure, like, obviously you'd have Crash doing his thing in a series and you'd have however many episodes. I do think a film would work better, though. That's just me being picky, I suppose. Sticking with Netflix for a moment. Bit of a smaller story, I suppose, but Don't Nod, who I believe worked on some of like the Life is Strange games and all that. Don't Nod and Netflix have signed development agreement for creation of a new narrative game based on a major IP. And a few of the first comments said that this might be for a Stranger Things game, which I'm surprised that's not happened yet. I think there's a little like arcadey one on Netflix mobile or whatever, but no one really talks about that. So yeah, to make a so signed development agreement for the creation of a new narrative game based on a major IP. So a new narrative game. Stranger Things, I suppose, is a possibility. I know we already know that, well, Life is Strange already is a game. And it's supposed to be getting that TV series in development. Some other people saying like Lost Records, which I think was there's so many of those like Life is Strange games that were made that I sort of started admittedly losing track of them. I know they did the sequel to Life is Strange, but then they also did Life is Strange 2. They did what was it called, Colors or something like that, and then they did yeah, Lost Records as well, which I think was a different one. There was also one called Tell Me. It's like a little three episode thing that came out. I don't think it was from Don't Nod though, but it was in the same similar kind of vein. It's called like Tell Me Alone or Tell Me Now or something like that, which kind of came out. Yeah, narrative game based on a major IP that's similar to something that Don't Nod would make. Life is Strange would make sense. Could also do something like a, you know, Wednesday. I suppose the case here is, okay, does it, I mean, they've made a deal with Netflix, so you'd therefore think it would be a Netflix original series. And not something like The Witcher, I would imagine, because The Witcher's already a game. But something narrative-based that would work within the Life is Strange sort of style. But from a Netflix show, I'd assume. Because I don't know why this would be, you know, for, what's an Amazon series I can think of that's original? This wouldn't be for like the
Fallout
board.
comes out in about a month.
Yeah, that's already a game though. I was thinking of like it's like The Boys or something that doesn't really have a game yet. But then again, if this is Don't Nod signing with Netflix, it wouldn't be something for an Amazon series. So yeah, something like Stranger Things would make sense. I think something like Wednesday would make sense. Although Wednesday is not a new Netflix IP, is it? It's a Addams Family spin-offy-ish, that's a new phrase, kind of thing. I wouldn't mind something like Heartstopper. That would be quite good. I know, again, it's not original Netflix show. That's based on the like graphic novel book thing as well. But any kind of stories like that, I think could potentially work. Anyway, Robert, if you think of, okay, so Don't Nod, so in the vein of a Stranger, not Stranger Things, sorry, Life is Strange type game, but original Netflix series, what to you comes to mind?
Honestly, I don't really know for that franchise because I never really played it. Something that I think might work, especially since Amazon has two different superhero properties. Have you seen this game that came out recently called Dispatch?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
For those people that don't know, you play as a character that used to be a superhero. You were in a mech suit, and then the mech suit got destroyed. So you basically had to take a office job, and your job is to assign other heroes to ongoing crime, and then, it resolves. So you don't have any direct action on the action itself. You're basically the guy behind the scene on the computer, just pushing the paperwork around. I think with the right comedy writing, that could be an amazing show. But it would really need a really good writer to do that. Because there's no way you could do that and be serious. It would have to be some kind of comedy.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. And again, it could be for more than one thing. So, depend on what this agreement exactly is. All right, that's my news this week. How about you?
Well, first up, we got bad news coming out of Ubisoft. I didn't know what you're thinking. So we've
Did
got
you play a
some
clip?
sort
'Cause
of.
that didn't come through.
Oh, that didn't come through?
No.
Why did that not come through? Because it worked before.
Don't know. We tried it before the show. Yeah.
Makes no sense. Oh, this is going to drive me nuts. Anyway. So Ubisoft is doing. Technically, not layoffs, with it. So the announcement came out, this time targeting its massive entertainment studios, which developed Star Wars Outlaws and Avatar: Frontiers of Pandora. So they announced a statement, and you know how I like to joke about corpo speak? So this is the most corpo speak about you're about to be laid off that I think I've ever read in my entire life. So this is from their official massive account on X. As part of our ongoing evolution and long-term planning, we are recently realigning our teams and resources to strengthen our roadmap, ensuring our continued focus on the Division franchise and the technologies, including the Snowdrop and Ubisoft Connect that power our games. To support this transition responsibly, we are introducing a voluntary career transition program, giving eligible team members the opportunity to take their next career step on their own terms, supported by a comprehensive package that includes financial and career assistance. Massive Entertainment remains fully committed to our roadmap and to creating the great experience for the players around the world, including the Division 2, Division 2 Survivors, Division Resurgence, and Division 3. These projects continue with the strength, focus, and ambition. We look forward to sharing more in the future. So first off, did not know there was a Division 3 in the works. And second off, that's probably the most polite way I've seen of any corporation saying, get the fuck out or we'll throw you the fuck out.
But yeah, this is the state of Ubisoft. And when you talk about, there's a Big Bad Three, I don't know what we can give them a nickname for. When you talk about Activision, EA, and Ubisoft, which also includes Blizzard, because, Activision, are probably doing the worst of the three. And I suppose this brings me back to a question I asked before, which is, when you look at Activision, when you look at EA, both of them have at least got things coming out that, or ideas or things coming out that people are looking forward to. I don't know that Ubisoft has got one of those right now. I know some people are kind of enjoying Assassin's Creed, whatever, but they're not really doing, I guess, big things right now. And until they get their ducks in a row, we'll get themselves back on a track. I don't know if the track is even on, but get the train back on the track. I'm sad that the more times we cover Ubisoft here and talk about them, and the more I see about them, the more I'm starting to side with. I think it was a couple of months ago when you said, sorry, when I said to you, I think, because we were covering a Ubisoft story, and I said, "What do you think they look like in about 5 years?" And you said that you said if they're even around in 5 years, and I don't think I outright dismissed the idea, but it was sort of not what was on my mind. The more and more we kind of go towards that and all the rubbish that they've been doing, the more I'm starting to kind of side with that. And again, it wasn't the fact that I disagreed or disagreed, it was just, oh, that's an interesting idea when you sort of put that out there the first time. But yeah, because it just, the thing that keeps striking me about them is, okay, you keep doing nonsense, but it's also a fact of, you just aren't making games people are really excited for at the moment, because you can kind of get away with things if, let's say you're a poorly run company, but you're at least bringing out like films or shows or games that people are sort of looking forward to, and that can kind of mask over certain stuff a little bit. But yeah, because again, it's like, okay, the Splinter Cell series came out. I've not checked out any of it yet, but like that got a little bit of buzz. Some people kind of talking about that, but yeah. So I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right about what you said before. So anyway, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that we're not shocked that these are not working out. They've made had bomb after bomb after bomb after bomb. I honestly can't remember the last Ubisoft title that came out that was a massive success. Now, granted, AC Shadows did have a lot of sales, but that game needed what, like 5 million in sales just to break even?
Yeah, they keep
Something
coming out with
insane
like
like that?
weird goals for what good sales are to them. I remember they did the
Yeah.
same thing with, was it Jedi Survivor or something? Or it was one of the games like that, and they were like, "Oh, these sales numbers aren't quite what we were expecting," and it was in the millions. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, they have strange goals, I suppose. So.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be like expecting Manchester United to win every game 10 to nothing.
Break the Premier League record every single game, which by the way is 9-0, which
Yeah.
is which we did. Well, we did it. I think there's two teams that have done that, but we did it first, and we've done it twice. We've lost 7-0 before. I think it was Leicester or somebody that won 9-0 once, and we won 9-0. It was actually in 2021. It wasn't that long ago, and then we won 9-0. It was in the 90s at some point. There's been other similar scorelines, like 7-2 and things like that, but no one's broken into a 10-0 yet. So yeah, but we got close with the 7-0. So when we lost. And that game, by the way, was 1-0 at half time. Then there was just, I think it was because it was away at Anfield against Liverpool, and it was like the last 15, 20 minutes, they just scored like five goals. It was just one after the other. But yeah, they keep setting weird goals for stuff, and they do what they do. So, all right, what else do you want to talk about today?
Well, 23rd of October is Fallout Day, because in the game lore, that's when the nukes dropped. And they did another Fallout Day episode. And for the most part, it was a big nothing burger. Now, that's not to say nothing was announced. It was just nothing that would really move the needle in terms of, oh my God, this is awesome. Basically, it was Bethesda trying to turn the Fallout franchise into the Skyrim franchise, in that you're going to buy it 77 times for each new edition. So we got a Fallout 4 Anniversary Edition with all the DLC. Now, it is important to note that this is coming to Switch 2. So that's a bit of a thing that, is cool for Switch 2 owners, that they can play that game on the go. The Anniversary Edition will include, like I said, all six DLCs, including the Creators Club. So Creators Club creations will be available in the game. Fallout New Vegas got an anniversary moment. Not a remaster, not a rebuild or whatever, just a new thing for you to buy because they want your money. So you will get the PC version of the Ultimate Edition, which has been out forever, a Vault Boy pin, evaluation cards, Mojave Express and NCR Recon patches, and a giant ass statue of the Victor robot. So, in the game in New Vegas, there's the robots, the Securitrons, that are on like the single wheel and roll around, and one of them's got the cowboy face on the monitor. Basically a tall version of that. They expanded their merch store to include a Vault Tec hat, Vault Tec lunch boxes, Dog Meat plushie toy, which how the hell have you not had a Dog Meat plushie toy this whole time? Bobbleheads and more. They did announce the next expansion to Fallout 76, which takes place in Ohio. And the only real big thing about that is that Walton Goggins' character from the Fallout TV show is your main NPC in that game. Fallout Shelter is getting a big update for some reason. And the
I
rest
forgot
was
about that game.
just, yeah, most people have. They raised some money for St. Jude's, which is cool. The thing that everybody wanted and nobody got, we didn't get a new trailer for Fallout Season 2, even though that game comes out in like 6 weeks. Nothing on that outside of Walton Goggins talking about his character in Fallout 76. And I think that was a real big disappointment for everybody because that TV show was really good. And everybody's super hyped for the next season. And this could have been a perfect launch for like a new official trailer, something like that, but nothing.
To be fair, with some of these things, I already thought that they existed. Like the Fallout 4 version and the one of the other things you mentioned. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, because I it yeah, because obviously, as somebody who's not like I wouldn't call myself a Fallout fan per se, because I've only played like one of the games. I wasn't even kind of aware of Fallout Day. I mean, it sounds exactly similar to Last of Us Day, which is September 26th, which is again similar concept. That's the day in the world where the outbreak started. So same kind of thing, I guess, for Fallout. Because I think they used to just call it. I think they called it Outbreak Day, and then they called it the Last of Us Day. For I can't remember why, but yeah, similar kind of thing. But no, I wasn't aware of it until it had already kind of come and gone. This year. So, but yeah, like you said, could have maybe done a another season two trailer. I think the big thing people are kind of waiting for is like, okay, even though you've spent a lot of time and resources in the last couple of years on Fallout 76, is where is Fallout 5, I guess. That could be the next big game, which again would eventually come to PlayStation.
Yeah, it's like the difference between the Skyrim Anniversary Edition and the Skyrim Anniversary Edition update, which adds Creative Club content to it, or there's just the regular Skyrim edition, or the Anniversary Edition. And yeah, because the Fallout 4, the one you were thinking about, was the Game of the Year edition, which has the main game and the four DLCs. The two other DLCs are Creative Clubs,
Right.
so they weren't technically part of that.
Oh. No, it's just that Fallout 4 itself is, what, 10 years old? So,
Yeah, 10 years.
yeah, 20, it was one of them big 2015 games. So any kind of like anniversary edition, special edition, I would have thought they would have already done. Good luck to anyone who does, I guess, want to play it on Switch 2. Unless you use a pro controller. So, yeah, because I wouldn't want to play, well, I wouldn't really want to play any game with those Joy-Cons, but not something like Fallout anyway, so.
I wouldn't want to play a shooter on those games, and Fallout's about the only shooter I play.
Yeah, so. All right, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, the last thing that I have to talk about, during this weekend's MCM London Comic Con, Kratos' voice actor, Christopher Judge, shared his hopes for where the God of War might be heading next, and to nobody's surprise, he is looking for Egyptian mythology, which would be super meta and lead to all kinds of in jokes because of the 10 years he played Teal'c on the Stargate TV show based off the movie, and he was basically tied to Egyptian gods through a series of things. So you could put so many jokes and memes into that, like it literally nonstop.
Yeah. Well, yeah, God of War has been kind of a hot topic at the moment because, like, all the remaster rumors and the TV show and everything else. I've seen a few people tweeting at him saying, Christopher Judge in talks to play Kratos, and he quote tweeted and he went, "Am I? Am I in talks?" I not aware of those. Which it's funny when, like, you know, when clickbait stuff gets taken, well, not taken down, but like called out, but directly from the people that are being included in those links. I remember the very, very early DCU days. I mean, we are still in the early DCU days, but when things first started getting announced, and of course the clickbait has started looking at that as a chance to kind of, oh, this thing is happening, this thing's happening, and James Gunn was jumping on a lot of them, being like, yes, no, this, that, and the other. But it's just funny when yeah, I've seen like two or three of them where people posted articles saying Christopher Judge in talks to play Kratos, and he goes, "Oh, I'm not aware of that." So, but yeah, it is like, what was it when we talked about the Bluepoint thing a couple of weeks ago? And I think I rounded out like five different rumors that have been heading around. So, yeah, one of the rumors at the moment is the Egyptian stuff. And we'll just have to see. I mean, you've got the Game Awards coming up, something could be announced there. We've had a few state of plays where nothing's been announced apart from a controller with a bit of red paint on it. But yeah, things could be happening with it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Egypt would be obviously the next logical place to go. I mean, they've already gone Greece, they've already gone Norse. Egypt's really the only one that has like the mass public understanding. I mean, there's a lot of deities in like China and Japan and Africa, but I don't think outside of Egyptian gods, they really have that much social awareness to them to really justify doing a game on it.
Yeah. I suppose unless you take God of War in a different direction or something, but yeah, Egypt seems the next likely one. Cool. Is that all you had this week?
Yep, that's all I got.
All right, we've got some slices of email feedback. If you'd like to write into the show, let us know what you think of anything we brought up. Halo coming to PlayStation. What are your thoughts on that? Crash Bandicoot. Don't Nod on Netflix. God of War. Fallout. Everything else. Have you played Ready or Not? Let us know about that. And everything else. Of course, random questions are always welcome as well. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org. Social media is eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. Josh is, I guess, technically first. Says, just wondered if Matt had tried Cronus: A New Dawn, as it seemed a little Dead Space, a little like Dead Space, and has infected creatures. It is on my rental list. It's not been sent yet. It's been, I guess, upgraded is the word, to a short wait, so could be sent tomorrow, could be sent any day. But I'm curious to play it. It's weird because I only caught on to that game's existence, I suppose, I think after it came out. And there's, I think I mentioned before, a YouTube channel that I check out called Sane TBH, where it's this guy who collects like people's reactions to games and stuff. And I was watching a few of those as well. And I would still, okay, when I'm going to go into the game, whenever that's going to be, have the expectation that, okay, Dead Space 1 is a damn good video game, to put it lightly, and don't obviously expect this to be as good as that, but any sort of games like that, I'll be curious to kind of check out. Obviously, I do like my general survival stuff. Doesn't have to be zombies per se. Although I do in general prefer fighting, like, I guess infected is the term, rather than creatures. I'm not always the biggest fan of, you know, fighting something that will suddenly jump on the side of the wall. I always prefer kind of, whether it's a walker, clicker, runner, you know, from all the, like, apocalyptic stuff that I care about. You know, your Walking Dead stuff, your Last of Us stuff, any sort of, what's the other one? Like, your 28 days, years later, and all those sorts of things, like, your different types of, as long as it doesn't start, you know, flying or jumping around too much or whatever. I know in Last of Us, you got your bigger ones, like Shamblers and Bloaters, but they're still grounded. And then you've got ones that sort of, again, walkers walk in The Walking Dead. Then you've got like your clickers who sort of walk around and stuff. And then you've got like your running zombies and all those sorts of things. So I generally prefer to fight things like that rather than like, it's maybe one of the many reasons I've really dropped out of Resident Evil is, first of all, because the franchise is just kind of a bit ridiculous, but also just, I don't know, Resident Evil seems to have this need to sort of, apart from Nemesis and Mr. X, which are actually really, really good villains and great characters, Mr. X, I'd say, is probably the best of the two, of having, like, these, I don't know, when you start getting into, like, tentacles and something that will, like, jump on the wall, that's where I start to kind of check out a little bit. Not that I can't play a game like that, because I think there is some stuff like this in that game, but I guess I just prefer the infected enemies to be on the same ground as me, you know? Also just the idea of, okay, the thing you're fighting used to be a person, now it's changed into whatever this particular thing is, through evolution or infection or whatever the case may be. So I'm curious to check it out. I'll go in with middle expectations, because it's been talked about as being fairly good, but again, I'm not expecting Dead Space level of quality, although clearly the inspiration is from there. And that's not, it's also not because of, like, remember when Callisto Protocol came out and it was like, oh, spiritual successor to Dead Space, and that game was bad. That game was just really bad. But it was bad for, like, really obvious, avoidable reasons as well. But I even remember that game, like, I remember buying the season pass, and then I played like 5 minutes on one of the DLC levels, and I was like, nah, I don't want any more of this. I just kind of checked out. So, but yeah, I'll check it out whenever it gets sent, and obviously give impressions and reviews. Have you seen any of Cronus: A New Dawn?
No, I haven't. It's one of those things that, like I said, I'm not a shooter guy, so it doesn't really hit my radar.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of, like, I guess, fighting infected things in games and that sort of stuff?
Ah, been there, done that. It just depends on the game itself.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so it's Josh. Abed writes in and says, any thoughts on gaming as a whole for 2025? So you're not asking specific game of the year because we've talked about that at length, and there's really only one answer to me. Although not according to a Golden Joystick Awards. So yeah. I found this to be a bit of an annoying year for games. Like, there's certain games I think should have been better that just, whether it's they didn't click with me or they weren't what I hoped that they would be. Let's say like Death Stranding 2 and Metal Gear come to mind. Which I don't, I know I gave, I think, skip ratings to both. I don't think that they're terrible games, apart from MGS's controls, I don't think are very good. It's just they didn't do what I wanted them to do with that. Yeah, there was other things like, I was kind of, I can't remember why I was excited for like Baby Steps, but that game just ended up kind of annoying me and just being very empty. So yeah, it's kind of one of my more disappointing, and I haven't, played everything yet. There's still a couple of games to go through, like Little Nightmares 3, for example, that I'm curious about. Ghost of Yote, if that ends up being any decent. Chronos as well, New Dawn. I don't know what I'll do for a review with like Ready or Not. Have to just see how that goes. But yeah, there's still a couple of games to go through for the year. But it's really just been South of Midnight and Expedition 33 to me. So, anyway, what do you think of I guess the whole year for the games?
It's been very bipolar. Either they're super amazing, awesome, or they've just crashed and burned completely. Didn't play it, but the Oblivion remaster skyrocketed. Obviously, Expedition 33 skyrocketed. Had a lot of indie games this year. Catch My Time, Ball X Pit, the Super Fantasy Kingdom, a couple others. It's been a boom for double A and indie games. Triple A games, it's on the underside of the gutter. Because I can't think of a single triple A game outside of Battlefield 6 that's really generated anything. And from the people that I talk to that are in that shooter, apparently Battlefield 6 is multiplayer, is really, really good at blocking cheaters.
That's good.
Obviously, I can't confirm that. This is just from what I'm hearing from the people that are in those spaces. Apparently, the game is really good at identifying cheaters and getting them booted, which for an online shooter, that's huge.
Agreed. What would you class Expedition 33 as?
Definitely double A. Not quite full triple A just because it had a super small budget. It had a super small team. Now they did bring in a lot like subcontractors to do some of the work, but I unless you're like a full-time employee getting benefits, I really don't count that. And I think there was like 30 people, which isn't small by any means, but 30 people isn't even the janitorial staff at any company like Microsoft or Ubisoft or Activision or EA or anything like that. And I think the budget for the game was like 20 million or something crazy low like that. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was definitely didn't need to sell 5 million just to break even. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, because it didn't cost between, 200 to 400 million like we're doing with a lot of stuff these days.
I think it cost like 50 to make. 20 or 50. I can't, those two numbers are jumping in my head, but I don't know why.
See, that's the, like, you look at something like Expedition 33, and you look at somewhere like a Ubisoft or an EA, they should be really looking at that and being like, okay, how do we do that? But then the thing is, they'd want to, if this makes sense, like, milk that idea. Like, okay, how do we get five of those out in a year? And it's like, okay, you don't really do five of those in a year. You sort of do one of those every, 3 to 5 years, and then you do other things. Because that's what the that's just what these companies aren't realizing is, okay, for your big games, I understand when you pull hundreds of millions in. Like, I remember we went through, this was a while ago, but we went through the budget of certain COD games. Some of those were 400, 500, 600 million, but if you're releasing a COD game and it's cost 600 million, while that is a lot of money, you know that you're going to make that back and then some profit very, very quickly because of the state the franchise is in. I mean, look at the game sales list that we talked about, what, 2 weeks ago. Nine were in one list, and then what was it, 10 or 11 were in the other list. So when you are doing that, and that's almost every single year that you are doing that, and you're consistently in, you know, the top five, top 10 highest selling games of the year, then you can kind of splash 400 to 600 million on a game. But and it's not that Sandfall needed to spend, you know, 400 to 600 million on an expedition, but because they didn't need to. But that probably would have, you know, broken the studio. So, because that's one of the interesting things with like horror films, and I really, really do think when it comes to horror films, you don't need to spend loads of money to be effective. And I often find at times with horror films, when you aren't one of the big budget ones and you are like the little indie horror film, as long as what you're doing is effective, you don't need to spend, because you can do like just cool things with audio, cool things with like camera work and direction, and that doesn't take loads and loads of money to make. So it's, they've just got to find, again, you're going to have your big stuff that's going to cost a lot of money, you know, your Assassin's Creed, your FIFAs, your GTAs, whatever. And that's the thing, even if Rockstar are spending 2 billion on GTA 6, they'll make that back, which is a hell of a lot of money, but we all know that they will. Maybe not in the first weekend or something, but over the course of 10 years, they'll make that back.
Yeah, and with games like COD and Battlefield, it's not just selling the game, it's all the skins
Oh yeah,
and all the
yep.
battle passes and all the other stuff. And with the horror movies, you know, you get the right idea with the right production company getting it to the right people to put it out there. Then you get things like Blair Witch Project, which cost like 100 grand to make and made over $100 million. Which was insane, because that was like the first really found footage horror movie that really came out. So.
Yeah, kick that genre off, yeah. I find also with, because this has been a really, really great year for horror films as well, I also just find that getting a really good director who has like a really great idea, and like knows how to use a camera, that can save you from spending, you know, hundreds of millions. So, although I think the horror genre in general is known to not spend tons and tons of money. So, yeah. All right, last one is from Beth. Says, "What's the worst food you've tried and the best restaurant you've been to?" Two very opposite questions. This is a bit random one, but I don't like gherkins at all. I actually kind of remember. I remember I've told this story in the podcast or not before, but I remember when I was about 8 or something, and I had this McDonald's school birthday thing, and yeah, my friends were there and whatever, and I started eating this burger and forgot to take the gherkin out, and then ate that, and I think it was maybe from that moment I was like, yeah, I'm not eating this. It feels. I can't remember, and I've had McDonald's for a bit, but like, it felt like this one thing of the burger that just didn't sort of belong in there, and just didn't like it at all. So that's one of the worst foods I've tried. I still had to go off a couple of things in recent years, like mushrooms and stuff. Even combined with other stuff, I've just gone off of those. Fish, I've started to go off of a little bit as well. I just prefer chicken, I suppose. Which I know is odd because, like, you know, obviously I'm British and that, and one of the things that gets associated with us is a good old, you know, good old fish and chips or whatever, at the seaside, kind of tradition and all that. I don't know, kind of just went off fish as well. Maybe it's that point where sort of, you know, I started my 30s and maybe. I suppose every now and then again, your body, well, not your body changes in different ways. I don't mean like that. I mean like your, some of your tastes and things like that start changing, don't they? And different things start changing. Yeah, those are a few of them for me. How about you?
Well, with the pickle thing and the gherkin thing, a lot of people I know are not big fans of it, but that's usually because of the acid involved. It upsets their stomach a bit, so that makes sense. For me, it's sauerkraut. I don't know what it is, but that smell just always makes me want to gag. I think it's just because I grew up in Indiana, and Indiana is a big German population from early immigration in the 1800s. And so you'll find a lot of German restaurants, not as much as like Minnesota or places like that, but you do get more than a few. And I've just smelled so many bad sauerkrauts. Just the smell alone makes me want to gag. As for the, I don't really have a best restaurant because there's so many different styles of food that you really can't quantify it. I can tell you the restaurant I missed the most was a sandwich shop where I used to live that had the most amazing subs that you could ever want. Thick but pillowy soft bread, not cheaping out on the ingredients, not skimping out on the ingredients either. You got a lot for your money. And the owner passed away and sold it. It got sold to somebody else who only kept the name, moved it to a different part of town, to where there's no parking, and turned it into a shitty ass wing place selling garbage wings to college students.
Oh, right.
And I just miss that place so much. But yeah.
All right. For best restaurant for me, what's my favorite? Like, I have a few different ones. It depends, like, time of day, who I'm with. It also depends, like. Okay, if you're gonna have a big dinner, obviously don't eat as much during the day, kind of thing. But then if you have like a bigger lunch, then that changes stuff. So it depends on my appetite for that. I do like a carvery quite a lot. We go to some of those a lot as a family. I like certain Beef Eaters and Harvesters, but yeah, some of them have a bit more limited menus than other places I've found. So some of those are quite good. There is this ironically I just said about fish and chips, this fish and chip shop that's I'll say it's kind of near me, and it's not, I don't go there for the fish, but they have this like nuggets meal. The nuggets is just kind of a bit of a side piece to it, but their chips are like some of the best I've ever had, so I like going to them. They let me take my scooter in there as well, so that's always good. I haven't been there for a minute, but 'cause last time I actually went to go there, which was in the summer, they said like they were closed for 10 days for some reason, and then I just haven't kind of been back there since. So I need to go back to there. I think they were doing refurbishing or vacation or something like that. So
Tell
those
you
are.
what, I can tell you the most insane restaurant I've ever been into.
Oh yeah.
You can find videos of it online. There's only one location in Las Vegas, Nevada, so obviously it's going to be extreme. It's called the Heart Attack Grill. So outside of the restaurant is a cattle scale, and if you weigh more than 350 pounds, you get your meal for free. So right off the jump, we're going extreme. The minimum smallest burger is a half-pound bacon cheeseburger that they call the bypass, and you can get it up to 8 patties. They have a liquor license, so you can buy wine, but it comes out in a 1 liter IV bag that you have to suck out through a hose. All their fries are cooked in duck fat, which is awesome. I don't know if you've ever had chips cooked in duck fat, but
I
they're
don't think so.
amazing.
Yeah.
And they do have a vegan menu. Their vegan menu is cigarettes.
Okay.
All the waitresses are dressed as slutty nurses, and if you don't finish your meal, they put you in an S&M contraption and spank you with a whip. I am not making any of that up. I'll send you a video after we're done recording. That is 100% a real restaurant.
All right. There we go. Cool. Okay. But no, those are some of the ones I can think of that I like. Some of them have different names than that, but those general sort of places. So cool. All right, that's what we've got for you for this week for gaming talk. We'll see what gets announced in next week. See what I end up playing in the next week as well, and whatnot. What content we end up doing and whatnot on that front as well. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. So let me just put that up there. Entertainmenttalk.org and platforms for TV, games, films, Monday Night podcasts. I wondered if the funny thing you said there would throw me off my intro, and it has slightly. Entertainmenttalk.org podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, Monday Night podcast. I don't know if they'll be United cast this weekend because of the odd 3 o'clock thingamabob. If you know, you know, and if you don't know, then I guess you don't know. So either put them on the TV or move the time slot. It's not difficult, and your blackout rule is stupid because it has no logic to it. That's all I'll say about that. So that's that for that. And then, yeah, Breaking Bad tomorrow. And we'll see what else comes out after that. Anyway, if you want to support the stuff that we do, you can find them on the places I've already mentioned. You can use word of mouth in social media. And if someone mentions a thing we podcast on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon $5, $10 level tiers for the every podcast review options. Look out for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news over on geektown.co.uk and Geektown Radio on Tuesdays. I did see David put out a MCM special episode. I've not checked it out myself yet, but you can go from here to there and check out whatever's over there, so you can find that as well. And then YouTube Entertainment Talk Plays. Not put anything on there for a little bit, but you can always go over there to find different bits and bobs and whatever else. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.